Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We hear from a lot of really, really talented musicians here on Soundcheck, but we're not snobs about it. We try to keep an open mind. And occasionally, we let people on the show whose musical talents are, well, maybe a little subpar.
I think I played every instrument.
You tried them all.
The piano, the saxophone, the guitar, and I'm just not good at playing music.
That's comedian Kurt Braunohler, who, despite lacking musical skills, somehow ended up on the indie record label Kill Rock Stars. We'll hear how later on the show. Also today, we've got a live performance from the immensely talented British singer and producer Ebony Bones, and from Sarah Jarosz. Sarah's just 22 years old, but the singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist has already performed at the Grand Ole Opry and the Newport Folk Festival, and was nominated for a Grammy. She released her third album called Build Me Up From Bones earlier this year, and she's about to play some of it here in the Soundcheck studio. This is Sarah Jarosz with Over the Edge.
The switch and turn the net on. Drop the needle on an old song. Break the ice and pour it my way. Turn the key and light the highway.
Lovely.
That is Sarah Jarosz live on Soundcheck with her song called Over the Edge, with Alex Hargraves playing the fiddle and Nathaniel Smith playing the cello and doing some backing vocals. Sarah singing, playing the octave mandolin. Sarah, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having us.
It looks like a guitar, at least from a few feet away, until you get up close and see that it's got the double-strung four-course of a mandolin. What's right. the difference between an octave mandolin and a mandocello?
Mm-hmm. Well, this octave mandolin, it was built by this guy, Fletcher Brock. And the difference between an octave mandolin and a mandocello is this is just an octave lower than a mandolin.
Right.
So it's G, D, A, E still. And the two G strings and the two D strings are octaves apart as well. So
kinda
that gives
like
it sort of
like a 12-string guitar. Where
yeah,
you have
or like a bouzouki, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
But then a mandocello is C, G, D, A. So it's like a cello would be.
Okay. Because the mandolin family is just like the violin, a family of instruments. You have mandolin, a mandola, a mandocello,
right.
et cetera.
Exactly.
All right. So the octave mandolin, yet something else, something different yet again. That song has a very old kind of quality to it. I mean, the line about dropping the needle on an old song, you know, it's, I mean, I know this is sort of, you know, people have been talking about this record as having a more mature sound, but were you consciously looking to make something that had that kind of timeless sound to it?
Yeah, I actually wrote that song with my friend Jed Hughes. We did a couple of co-writes for this album. And, you know, I think we were mainly looking to kind of write a song that was fun to play, kind of rock out on. But the image of, you know, the needle on the old song and kind of a throwback to an older time really kind of intrigued us in the process of writing that.
Have you ever, in fact, dropped a needle on an old song?
I have.
Do you own a record player?
I don't own one, but I've spent time with people who own them, and I have dropped a needle.
This is what we've come to, where a musician can actually go on the air and say, yeah, I've seen people with turntables. I've seen needles and records and all that
I'm
kind of stuff.
I'm saving up for one, though.
So how important was it with this record to get that kind of live performance, you know, the trio in a room together and the tape is rolling?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the biggest difference between this record and my last two, you know. It has the consistency of the fact that I've been working with Gary Pichosa for all three, but I really wanted
He's
to kind
the
of
producer.
Yeah, we co-produced all three of my records, and yeah, you know, the last couple kind of would always start with just me going in and laying down my part, and then kind of overdubbing on top of that. And I've been, you know, touring with Alex and Nat for the last 3 years, and I knew that I wanted this sound to kind of be a much bigger part of the record, so. You know, kind of we went in and tracked a lot of it. And then, you know, I also wanted to include some special guests
right,
on top of
right.
that. So
right.
Yeah.
So you've got a little electric guitar, a couple of other things happening on the record as well. Now, you mentioned touring with Alex and Nat for the past 3 years, but you've been otherwise occupied for a lot of the past 3 or 4 years at the New England Conservatory of Music.
Uh-huh.
What did you go to NEC to study? I mean, you signed your first record deal at 16. You had a career in the music business already. What did you go there for?
So I went to NEC. I actually first heard about their contemporary improvisation program from my friend Aoife O'Donovan, who played in Crooked
Still.
Vocalist,
yeah.
And so that's how I heard about it. And it's just a really amazing program. You know, most of the school is a classical conservatory, so people don't really think about the CI program, but it's really gotten a lot of cool recognition over the last several years. And
what does that do for you as a songwriter and performer? You come back to playing with the boys here, and you've got all this Ornette Coleman, Albert Eiler, free jazz stuff in your background all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not necessarily obvious in these songs that would be, you know, that you would call that out as an influence.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it all kind of makes its way in there in a certain sense. And just to be stretched musically and to have my ear kind of stretched so much over the last 4 years, I think was really beneficial. And then kind of on top of all the musical stuff, I got really into poetry in my last year. I got really close to the poetry teacher at NEC, and I think that really helped with the songwriting.
Mm.
So,
Well, the results are there for all to hear on the album Build Me Up From Bones, which is a poetic title. It's out now. It's the third record by Sarah Jarosz, who's here with us and with her trio in the Soundcheck studio. Let's hear another song. This one's called Mile on the Moon. Once again, Sarah Jarosz and her trio live on Soundcheck.
One. Watch me fall. Lose the feeling of it all. I wish the night would let me in. I'm back here knocking on the
That's called Mile on the Moon from Sarah Jarosz and her trio, Sarah singing and playing the octave mandolin. Alex Hargrave switched over to guitar for that song, Nathaniel Smith playing the cello. And that also appears on Sarah's most recent album called Build Me Up From Bones. We were talking before about old songs, Sarah. You do have a couple of, well, older songs on the record.
Mm-hmm.
You've done covers pretty much all, you know, on each of the records. And another Dylan cover, you do this really kind of stripped down, bare bones arrangement of Simple Twist of Fate.
Mm-hmm.
And the other cover is Joanna Newsom, mm-hmm. the harpist and singer-songwriter. You do a version of her Book of Right On,
yep.
Which is off, I think, her first record.
Milk-Eyed Mender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is she someone who you have kind of followed as a songwriter?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny. Aoife was the first person to tell me about her, but I've been a big fan for a long time, and that song in particular is just one of my favorites. So it's a fun one to play.
Yeah. Well, the new album is called Build Me Up From Bones, and Sarah, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Sarah Jarosz on Soundcheck.
We should shine a light on, light on. And the book I've read on's read on, it was read on.
You can check out videos of Sarah Jarosz and her trio playing right here in the studio on our website at soundcheck.org. Up next, we talk with comedian Kurt Brownoler about how he ended up on a label with bands like Slater Kinney and the Decembrists, and he plays DJ with a Pick 3 playlist. That's next on Soundcheck.
3, that's a magic number. Three. It's the magic number.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Picking three songs for us today is comedian Kurt Brownoler, whose debut album is also the first ever comedy record for the noted indie label Kill Rock Stars, home to bands like the Decembrists and Slater Kinney in the past, and now home to Kurt Brownoler. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
I mentioned the record label because you kind of like grew up on those bands label, right?
Yeah, that was the reason that I kind of had approached them in the first place. I think Kill Rock Stars retweeted a tweet that I had done maybe like a year ago, and we got in conversation. And I was like, "You're one of my favorite labels," and I said, "You want to do a comedy record?" And they're like, "We've been thinking about it." And like that day, we got on the phone and we're like, "Let's do it."
You know, there has been. I know you lived in Brooklyn for a long time, and you probably have seen this. The communities of indie rock and comedy.
Yeah.
Here have really come together. I mean, that Venn diagram has gotten really close together now.
Yeah, I mean, I just did my record release show in Brooklyn on Tuesday, and Ted Leo played.
Oh.
And so he's a good friend, and I love his music. And so, I think the kind of the confluence of music and comedy really started, you know, Steve Martin opened for Black Sabbath, you know?
With banjo, presumably.
Yeah, I don't even know if he was doing banjo then, but that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. So you picked three songs for us today, and the first of them actually is one of those Kill Rock Stars bands,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's Unwound. It's from... I believe it's from Repetition. It's called Corpse Pose. And this is one of my favorite Unwound songs. And I really, Unwound was kind of like one of my favorite bands coming up. And they're really the reason that I kind of fell in love with Kill Rock Stars and kind of just listened to everything they put out.
Mm-hmm. So this is, we're talking mid-90s here.
Yeah, mid-90s, kind of that Pacific Northwest, almost like post-punk, math-rocky kind of sound.
Okay, let's listen to a little bit. Corpse Pose is the title of the song from Unwound. From the mid-90s, the band Unwound with a song called Corpse Pose, picked for us by Kurt Brownoler, comedian, host of the podcast The K-Ole, and which you can find on Nerdist.com, and the co-creator and co-host of the variety show Hot Tub with Kristen Schaal, which used to be based here in New York, and now you're all out in L.A.
All out in L.A. L.A. has claimed us.
Now, you talk about, like, growing up, hearing these bands and sort of, you know, getting into the sound. Did you, you know, as a teenager, pick up a guitar, or were you a musician?
I think I played every instrument.
You tried them all.
The piano, the saxophone, the guitar, and I'm just not good at playing music. But I think that that history with it kind of I don't know, got me obsessed with music. And really, in college, that's all I wanted to do. That's the only thing I was interested in. I didn't start doing comedy until after college.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So did you play out? Did you try? Did you form school bands?
Yeah,
and stuff?
We had a band. We would play in the basement. We'd put on punk rock shows in the basement of our apartment in Baltimore.
What was the name of your band?
I think it was Como Safeway. But because of Safeway, so it was spelled Como Safeway. That was a bad band. I think I played drums.
That's a bad name.
It's a bad name, too. Oh, yeah. but we had, it was actually the whole thing, this it was this organization we started called FUDC, which because we hated DC and we loved Baltimore. And we started it because of an Unwound show. We were at an Unwound show, and I was dancing, and this guy was like, hey, man, you need to calm down. Because everybody, the DC scene, because of Ian MacKay, everybody stood with their arms crossed, you know?
Okay.
And
Ian MacKay from Minor Threat,
and
you know,
Fugazi.
Fugazi, the straight edge movement.
Yeah, and he hated slam dancing. So DC was very uptight, and we kind of like celebrated Baltimore by having these shows in our basement and going crazy.
So you've moved around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn,
yeah, a little
Baltimore,
bit.
LA. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey, Asbury Park in Neptune,
okay,
right on the coast there.
And so now that you're on Kill Rock Stars, on this label with a lot of your musical heroes.
It still seems crazy to hear that said.
Yeah. The album's called How Do I Land?
Yes.
Can you tell us the story of that title?
Sure. I ran a Kickstarter. I wanted to skywrite like a dumb joke in the sky. And so we ran a Kickstarter and raised $6,000. And then we wrote in the sky over Los Angeles, How Do I Land? In clouds. We forced clouds to make a joke.
So when you say we, you weren't up in that plane with the skywriter.
No. I say we as the collective of everyone who donated money.
Okay.
Because we had kind of donations from all over the world.
You pay by the letter, right?
No, well, it's $4,000 to get 10 characters.
10 characters.
And if we could get $10,000, we could have gotten 5 planes that kind of like spell it out and kind of like
a digital binary.
What it looks like more.
Yeah.
But we had the old school like loop-de-loop, mm-hmm, takes a long time. The letters disappear pretty fast. I realized that it's the most inefficient way to tell a joke.
Did you have to pay for the question mark?
No, they gave it to me for free.
Oh,
and that
nice.
Was a point of contention.
The album's called How Do I Land from Kurt Brownoler, who's my guest on Soundcheck. Let's hear a clip. This story is about one of the more humiliating moments in your life.
Oh, boy.
Where you meet Sacha Baron Cohen. Ali G, Borat, etc. Can you set this clip up for us?
Sure. I don't know exactly where it comes in, but basically I had an audition to be the assistant to Bruno in the Bruno movie. And one of the requirements was that I could speak German. And I lied and I said I couldn't. I can't speak German at all.
And that's where we pick things up.
Sacha Baron Cohen, my comedy idol, looks at me and speaks to me in German, which to me sounds like a series of whistles and clicks. And I just look him dead in the eye, and I'm just like, Ein kleiner, wie heißen Swatten? Auf Orten Swatten? Wie heißen Wiedersehen? Auf Orten, the omelet. And then I make big old eye contact with a big eating smile to everybody in the room. Now I know nobody else in the room speaks German, so they don't know what just happened, but Sasha looks at me like a dog who just heard a whistle. He's confused, as he should be. Because from his perspective, a man just came in for the biggest job interview of his life, and when asked, tell me about your experience, that man went, blah, 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 and then smiled like a crazy person at everyone in the room.
That is Kurt Brownoler. The record is called How Do I Land? Brownoler, that's a good German name. You must know. See, you knew enough German to kind of fake the German there.
I think I took German when I was 12 for a year, and I was just in love with my teacher. And all I would do is just stare at her the whole class. And after a year, my mom was like, so what have you learned? And I was like, was ist das? She's like, that's it? What is that? That's all you've learned? She's like, I'm taking you out of this class.
So do you do a lot of improv?
I came up improvising. So I started improvising in 1998. And then I think I just was planning on making a living from improvising. So for 8 years, I tried to do that. And I realized I couldn't. And that's when I met Kristen, and we started doing Hot Tub and writing together.
Right.
And then shortly after that, I really started writing my own stand-up, which was probably about 5 or 6 years ago.
But the improv, you know, that experience stands you in good stead when Sacha Baron Cohen talks to you in German and you have to come up with something.
Sure, yeah. It gets me in hot water.
But so basically, obviously the work with Kristen Schaal, the two of you are writing. Mm-hmm. When you're writing your own stand-up routine,
yeah.
How much... You know, how much improv is, how much leeway do you have? Is it like jazz where the same tune will sound different every night?
It is, when I'm writing it, it's very much a writing process. I'll write out a lot more than I'll actually use, and then I'll kind of bullet point it out, and then I'll perform it on stage. And so when I'm performing it for the first or second time, it's still very improv-y, but I know what I want to say, and I have a very... You know, the rhythm has to be the right and the meter has to be correct. And so those are very specific things. And then after you've done it, you know, a few times, it starts to lock in.
Yeah.
And then you definitely have, it's a script, but it sounds like it's not.
What you're talking about sounds like songwriting.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about meter and rhythm and pacing.
I think the two are very similar.
This becomes especially important when you are working to time. For example, if you appear on a late-night TV show.
Yes.
Which you recently did on Conan. Now, do you aspire to be a late-night TV host yourself?
I do. I ran a late-night talk show in New York for a few years called Night of the Living. And haven't run it in L.A. yet. We're trying to kind of get all the pieces together. But, yeah, that is something I'm moving towards. And especially with my podcast, kind of like setting up systems that I can kind of expand upon for a visual medium as well.
Do you have any particular show in your crosshairs? Should Conan or Jimmy Fallon, should they feel the little red dot on the back of their neck?
Yeah, I'm going to come after Conan because I can just go right into his entire wardrobe. We're the same size.
What kind of music would you have on a show should you have your own late-night band to choose?
I think I would have sort of there's a group called Adira Amram and The Experience. She's a comedian who also plays keyboard and sings. That she would be my go-to group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for the moment, this is Kurt Brownoler on someone else's late night TV show. This is on Conan.
I recently just moved to LA, and so I've been driving a lot, listening to LA radio. And I did not know that 90% of LA radio is just Sublime. I had no idea, but I like it. I found that I have a favorite Sublime song. It's the song where the Sublime guy goes, "I can play a guitar like a mother effing riot." And then just slowly plink plonks on an acoustic guitar. Just plink plonk, plink plonk, plink plonk. I was like, that is a riot. If your definition of a riot is just one lone seagull trying to get a sandwich out from inside a baby grand piano. Plink plonk, plink plonk, plink, plink plonk, plonk, plonk.
That is Sublime's What I Got. Kurt Brownoler on Conan's late night TV show. So you've moved to L.A. Are you finding the music scene there to your liking?
It is. You know, it's so having been in New York for so long and just knowing people and being able to go to shows, you know, it is like it's a little like, oh, no, I don't know anybody. I don't know anything. So I have been like on Monday nights. It's kind of tough, too, because Monday nights is kind of there. Where all the places in Echo Park and Silver Lake have kind of residencies and all the music's free and everybody kind of goes from place to place. But that's when I have my show, so I don't really get to go see much music.
When you say my show, do you mean Hot Tub?
Yes, Hot Tub.
So Kristen Schaal's out there now too,
mm-hmm,
in L.A.
Yep.
Is the show different because it's on a different coast?
It's not really that different because, you know, it's in Silver Lake, and so that's essentially the Park Slope of Los Angeles,
right.
You know? And so it's kind of the same types of audiences.
Right.
You know, New York, I think people are a little more, like I found this when I did my show with Ted Leo, is that they'll stick around for music at the end in
right.
New York more than they will in L.A. In L.A., a lot of people just get up and kind of, like, leave while the band's playing at the end, which always frustrates me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Kurt Brownoler, nonetheless, living out in L.A., the comedian, host of the podcast The K-Ole, and with Kristen Schaal, co-host of the variety show Hot Tub. Let's get back to your pick three, River City Extension. Where is this song from? With this band?
This band, I had to put them on because they're from Asbury Park, local Asbury Park band.
Okay.
They're amazing. They do a show every Thanksgiving at the Stone Pony that I've never been to. A rock and roll show that felt more like everybody was in a family together, and it's the best feeling I've ever had. And I try and go back every year just to go to that show.
So this is the home team.
This is the home team.
All right, the song's called "Our New Intelligence" from the band River City Extension.
Stolen Aphrodite, beautiful and mighty. Act like you can find me, tuck beneath the vine. My mouth shut. You do not exist. You are a product of my loneliness. Never let you in. I'll never let you find me. But you're what you do have. Put your past behind me. New intelligence.
Our New Intelligence, a song from the New Jersey band River City Extension, picked for us by Jersey boy Kurt Brownoler, the comedian and writer with us on Soundcheck today, with his pick three. And boy, it sounds like somebody was listening to the Tijuana Brass at some point there with that band. I was asking you before whether L.A. had changed Hot Tub, the show you do with Kristen Schaal. Has L.A. changed your writing process, the way you're – the things you're looking at to include in the routines?
You know, it is – it's almost in a way – this might sound strange, but it's more American now because I really do feel like the things I don't like about Los Angeles are simply that it's not New York. And I do feel like New York is almost not America. Yeah. We don't drive in cars. We don't live in houses. But in Los Angeles, it's very much a suburban city, and it is kind of America. So I do things now that I think the majority of Americans do. I'm in traffic. I'm listening to the radio. I'm in a car. I'm seeing billboards. I'm watching TV. Whereas in New York, you lead this other – like I would write about, like, you know, subway grates and, like, things I would see on the subway or, you know, stuff like that, which is, like, it's not everyone's experience. And so I do feel I'm now having more of an American experience.
Yeah, but you know, that was always the amazing thing about the Seinfeld show.
Yes.
Was that
so specific?
So specifically
but universal.
New York. You know, I did a show, a broadcast once with the ABC, the Australian Broadcast Corporation.
Yeah.
They sent one of their crews over, and they were all huge Seinfeld fans. I was like, really?
Oh, yeah.
Down under? It's like, the bit about the parking space and everything, they got all of it.
Yeah.
Somehow.
It is kind of amazing.
Yeah. All right. One more pick. Cloud Nothings. This is a band with a couple of records to their credit. Their last one was a favorite of yours, right?
Yes. Actually, last one and the one previously as well. This band is just, they do have, like I do, I'm a child of the 90s, and so I'm obsessed with that kind of like mid-90s sound, and they do have that kind of mid-90s kind of college rock sound. And their earlier records were much more higher end, more tinny and aggressive, and now the most recent album is like dark and it's heavy. It's much heavier than their stuff before, but also still in a very mid-90s vein, which I find fantastic. And I saw these guys at South by Southwest with my friend Chris, and it was an amazing show, just the whole place going crazy.
So do you do the festival circuits occasionally?
I play a lot of music festivals, yeah. I think I've played the majority of the big ones in the United States.
Good way to keep up with what the kids are doing.
I really like seeing music, and so it's kind of great. I get to do my set and then go and see music. It's the best.
All right, well, Kurt Brownoler has his own record out. It's called How Do I Land, and it is out now. You can also find his podcast, The K-Ole, on Nerdist.com, and he's picked three songs for us today in our occasional pick three series on Soundcheck, and this is the third of them. It's called Been Through by the band Cloud Nothings. And Kurt, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All Up next, British singer and producer Ebony Bones gets loud right here in the Soundcheck studio. Stay with us. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The British singer and producer Ebony Bones has a flair for larger-than-life musical performances. Her tendency towards the flamboyant has earned her a spot opening for CeeLo Green a few years back, and her eclectic musical palette has earned her fans on both sides of the Atlantic. We'll hear more about the making of Ebony Bones' new album called Behold a Pale Horse in just a moment, but first, here's a song, Ebony Bones, live on Soundcheck with Warrior.
This is the sounds of Ebony Bones.
That is Ebony Bones, live on Soundcheck with her song Warrior, featuring Jimmy Palagrossi on our drum kit and Geki Matsuzaki playing the electric guitar, and sounded like a few other Ebony Bones in a black box somewhere providing the backing vocals. And the album is called Behold a Pale Horse. Ebony, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. On the record, that's the bonus track,
that
right?
Is the bonus track, yeah.
And it's spelled all in caps with periods. So
that's
do the
right,
letters
yeah.
stand for something?
They do, yeah.
What?
I'm not going to say right now. I mean, it was a track that I had recorded on my debut album, which was not released in the US. And that was from 2009, called Bone of My Bones. And it's one of my favourites, and it's a good one to perform. So I thought we'd make a nice bonus track.
Okay. The album Behold a Pale Horse, I'm told that it's really kind of two parts.
That's correct.
And what's the distinction between the two?
The first half of the album, called Born in Flames, features a lot of children's vocals and choirs. The New London Children's Choir is one of them. And we have a great cover of The Smiths, What Difference Does It Make, which is one of my favourites on the album. And the second half of the album is called When the Battle's Lost and Won, which is a reference to Shakespeare's Macbeth.
Uh-huh. So were these actually written with a production of Macbeth in mind?
It was something that once all the production was finished and the album was complete, it kind of fell into those two separate parts. Hmm. And actually, they're called acts. So Act 1 and Act 2.
Act 1 and Act 2. Now, you have some familiarity with acting, with the theater,
right,
and with TV. You were on a pretty popular soap opera over there in the UK.
I started on stage, actually, doing Shakespeare. And my first experience standing on a stage was with director Mark Rylance. And that was doing Macbeth. I was one of the witches.
Really?
And,
how old were you?
I was about 12, 13, and never done Shakespeare before. And it was phenomenal that he had given me that opportunity. And he had quite a sort of punk ethic himself, in that he completely changed the environment of which Shakespeare had originally placed Macbeth, and did his own interpretation of that.
With a 12-year-old witch.
That's so, yeah. Right, yeah. and that was a great fundamental experience for me, and working on stage and having that theatrical background.
And then the Family Affairs was the TV show.
That's
for
right.
A number of years.
Then I went to the small screen.
So did this all of this serve as a kind of a detour away from music? Was music your first love?
You know, I grew up selling vinyl alongside my dad on his market store in Brixton. And, you know, I spent a lot of time as a child just going through vinyl crates. And mm-hmm. My love of artists and music, and most particularly producers, began from there.
So that explains your album. The beginning, the very first sound on the album is from a vinyl record that was pretty famous back in the mid-80s, called Le Mystère de Voix Bulgare,
That's
The
correct.
Mystery of the Bulgarian Voices.
Yeah.
So is that how you discovered that record of Bulgarian singing?
It's one of my favourites. In fact, I play it all the time before I go on stage as a mantra, you know, just to kind of get into the zone before I get on stage. And
yeah.
So I had worked in India alongside members of the Symphony Orchestra of India. And the arrangement was done by Andrew T. McKay mm-hmm. of the Bombay Dub Orchestra, who are phenomenal. And I'd never gone to India before. And once that piece was completed, I came back and I was listening to what I had done, and for some reason that had come out, played over it, and I thought, this is phenomenal, this has to stay.
So the Bulgarian and the Indian sort
yeah.
of coming together. So you produced this record. I mean, all those sorts of decisions were done by you.
That's correct. And track 7, called Breathe, is produced alongside a phenomenal artist called The Mechanical Elephant.
Right.
And we wrote and produced that together.
So there are actually several tracks on this record where you don't sing.
Right.
They're either instrumental or other people, like the children's choir, are doing the singing. Do you see yourself as a writer first, a singer first, a producer first? Do you not split them up that way?
You know, I think it's all about changing people's perspective of music. What's quite interesting to me is that there aren't many female producers who are celebrated in the same way of which male producers are. And it's somewhat, I don't know, it's sort of medieval misogyny in the industry, of which in 2013 seems quite archaic.
Yeah. So without those kind of role models as a woman,
yeah.
who were you listening to?
I was listening to Brian Eno, Quincy Jones, Butch Vig, Nile Rodgers, the list goes on. You know,
right.
I've always had quite an eclectic taste in music, and I wanted to bring all those elements and pay homage to those.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned growing up in Brixton, selling, you know, vinyl records out of your dad's stall there in the marketplace and stuff. Your dad's family, they're from the Caribbean originally,
right? Both my
right?
parents are from the Caribbean, that's correct.
So is that part of what's going on here musically as well?
Perhaps, yeah. I think, I naturally had a huge affinity to punk music, and I think Caribbean, particularly Jamaican reggae music, has its roots in rebel music, and mm-hmm. I think reggae and punk came together with the same kind of rebel music in mind.
Well, and of course, many of the first wave of punks were huge reggae
Precisely.
Fans. Think of the Clash,
yeah.
and here in the States, Bad Brains.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's some simpatico
right.
going on.
And the first band to take me on the road with them across Europe on tour was the Slits. So that was a phenomenal experience for me and one of my favorite.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Ebony Bones. The album's called Behold a Pale Horse. It's from Book of Revelations, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, yeah.
So
surprisingly, you're like the first person who knows that.
Really?
I can't believe it, yeah.
So is there something apocalyptic?
Most
about?
Definitely. The Sonics kind of have that apocalyptic feel about it, or I like to think they do. And it's somewhat of a concept album, although I don't like saying that. But, yeah.
Well, apparently it's two concept albums.
Correct. Well, two parts, yeah.
The two parts, one
yeah.
one for a movie and the other this
sure.
kind of Macbeth-influenced thing. Which half of the record does While the People Sleep belong to?
On the first half, yes.
Ebony Bones with us here in the Soundcheck studio and performing some songs from her album called Behold a Pale Horse. Let's, I should also mention we are shooting video. I am so glad we are shooting video today of all days because Ebony sounds great and you look fabulous.
All right, thank you.
All right, so shall we get back to live music? All right. The song is called New World Blues, live on Soundcheck. That is called New World Blues, live performance from the singer, songwriter, and producer Ebony Bones, with Jimmy Pallagrossi behind the drums, Geki Matsuzaki playing the electric guitar. The album is called Behold, a Pale Horse, sophomore effort from Ebony Bones, although, as she told us earlier, the first album not released here in the States, so for many of us, our first opportunity to hear Ebony Bones in action. And the song we'll hear next is called While the People Sleep. Once again, Ebony Bones live on Soundcheck with a song called While the People Sleep. It comes from her new album called Behold a Pale Horse. Another live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. You seem born to perform. I mean, even here in a radio studio, you're dancing around and, you know, you've got this real theatrical look. I mean, how important is performance as theater?
I thoroughly enjoy performing. Being on stage is one of my favourite things, and touring as well. It's important because, you know, music, for me at least, is a spiritual language, and you're resonating that energy to anybody who's listening, even through the radio waves. It really is about celebration and, you know, I never really know when my next, you know, next time I'm going to be on stage. So it's nice to have that celebration and perform alongside people that you love and trust.
Ebony Bones performing some of the songs from her new album called Behold a Pale Horse. Ebony, it has been a lot of fun having you and the boys here in the studio with us.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for inviting us.
That does it for today's show. Remember, you can explore our archives of live performances and interviews on soundcheck.org. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Soundcheck to get the latest updates about live webcasts, music news, and more. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, and Jason Isaac. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Dan O'Donnell, and Mike Katziff with Amy Pearl. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.